it up for Monday. Clap your hands on Monday. Let's dance, it's Monday. It's a happy Monday. The first day of the week.
It's Monday!
Just calm down.
You want to go to work? Go take a job as an essential worker.
What difference at this point does it make?
Oh, it makes a lot of difference. And you're going to be seeing the difference as Americans start to stand up for themselves. It's the Monica J. Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. I am so glad that you are with me today. We've got so much to talk about and listeners on the line, people wanting to get their thoughts out. I'm trying to get Dee Goodman on the line to talk about what she's going through, because now, well, she's going to have to go mobile or shut it down. Our barber who helped us get this started, it's just ridiculous what's going on. People losing everything. That's why you have to prepare. I talk about stocking the pantry and everything else that goes on, but you have to prepare your finances as well. People watching the stock market go up and down and up and down, and they're worried about that. We have too much to be worried about. So we have Greg Hughes on the line with us, HughesCapital.com, if you want to find out more. Hello, Mr. Greg.
Good morning, Monica.
I am sending you virtual hugs right now with no face mask on.
Oh, I like that. Good. Very good.
Hey, today we're going to be talking about the 1031 exchanges and how you can use it for your investment portfolio. And I got to be honest with you first, what exactly is a 1031 exchange?
Yeah,
you get that a lot, don't you?
With them. Right. Yeah. It's not, if you've done them before, you might know what they are. But so let me tell you what a 1031 exchange is. It's a tax law that allows you to sell an investment piece of property, and then you can buy another investment piece of property without having to pay any of the taxes on the one that you sold. So, Monica, this is one of the most powerful investing strategies for real estate investors, because you get to keep your money working year after year for you, as compared to having to pay those taxes to the IRS. And we know no one wants to pay more taxes than they have to. And this is something that we help investors do all the time. And by the way, it's pretty easy.
Maybe easy to you, but so Greg, does it matter how much an investor makes or how long they've owned the property for?
No, it really doesn't, Monica. What we find for investors that have owned their property for a long time, they've built up their equity and now it's trapped within that property.
Yeah.
And that trapped equity is not working for them as well as it should be, right? So, let me give you a real quick example. Say you bought a rental property 25 years ago and now it's paid off. What we've experienced with people doing a 1031 with us is that they can put that equity back to work and usually double or more their monthly income, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, you don't want it stagnating. Greg, I would imagine, though, that a lot of these investors don't really like being a landlord. You know, you've got all the hassles. Wow, my toilet's clogged. I mean, the calls are endless. And expenses that come along with the job, it's a hassle.
It is. You're spot on. They want to sell their property, do the 1031 exchange so they don't have to pay any taxes, but they don't want another property that starts that whole process all over again. This is where we can help. We can set them up with their 1031 exchange, take away all those landlord hassles and expenses, and then they only have to pay for the owner's insurance. That's it. So it makes it very appealing for those that want to not pay any taxes, keep real estate in their investment portfolio, which is so important, yet not have any of those landlord problems that come along with owning real estate.
Oh, that is so true, Greg. I mean, it's just, you watch the stock market, it goes up and down, and you never know what the flavor of the month is going to be. People buying medical stocks now, who knows what that's going to be like, but everybody always wants to have a roof over their head. So real estate is so important.
Right.
You got to call Greg, HughesCapital.com. You can also call him at 234-4001. Again, that's HughesCapital.com. Greg, thank you so much for talking with us today, and I hope to talk and see you real soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Monica.
Thanks, Greg. So let's go to the phone lines at 884-9910 and had Nancy call back. Nancy, I'm so glad we got you back on the line talking about what's going on in Douglas County, especially there in Gardnerville.
Well, thank you very much, Monica. It's an honor to speak to you.
No. It's not an honor. It's a pleasure because we do this together, and it's a pleasure to talk to you. My mom owns a store just like this in California, and she's not working. How does this affect you as a consigner?
Well, first of all, I just get a 1099, so I don't qualify for any kind of unemployment or anything. Also, there's about 50 dealers in this collective, and they rely on the money, too, as well for their families. So we're not talking about one little small store. We're talking about a lot of people being affected by this.
Yeah. It's
and
just,
I feel, you know, the person who complained against Cheshire Antiques, of course, that just snowballed into something else. You know, we had the AG come, the investigator come up and show up and, you know, threaten the owners with, you know, going to court. And all they want to do is make a little living. We don't get a lot of people in there at one time ever. It's not like Walmart or any place else like that.
Right.
It's just really sad.
It is. I mean, it's your livelihood. What type of things do you sell?
Well, I specialize in a little fine antiques. I like silver and Western memorabilia and a little bit of everything. I've been a dealer for, gosh, about 45 years. And, of course, I'm a refugee from California, so I went from the fire into the hot pit here in Sicily. So
we're still trying to crawl out. I'm from California, too.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm a third-generation Californian, but now I love Nevada and I love the people here. I'm just not too crazy about this governor.
You know, I want you to answer. I want you to answer a question because I went on to the Record Courier site and was going through the article, and then I saw that there were comments down here, and somebody made the comment: "What part of antiques are essential?" Exactly.
Well, to me, the people who did come into the store when we were actually open for a day or two were so happy. They were so joyous that they had something they could do. And they were all enthusiastic. One people came from Reno, and they're very enthusiastic about feeling good about purchasing something and helping the little guy out. Because pretty much we're all little individual people, middle-class people, and it feels like they're just picking on us, really. It's not like we have a lot of customers in there at one time, hardly ever, actually. So it's not like a restaurant.
They are picking on you, Nancy. I'm just going to say that because the governor, they already have plans put in place to open up the big casinos, you know, to open up the bigger industries. And look at all the industries that are still open. They are, for the most part, 90% the large corporations. They are trying to kill local businesses. And my answer to this woman who, you know, asked what the essential was, I would say it's your livelihood.
Well, there you go. That is a good answer for that because it is. It's people's livelihood. And it's a little guy, the little person that can't keep going like this. You can't keep paying rent and getting nothing back when you still have bills coming in that you have to pay, essential bills. So, yes, I think every person's job is essential to them. And to pick out people and say, well, gift shops aren't essential or, you know, hair people. Of course, hair people are. Look at our hair. It's like hell.
Yeah,
come on.
I saw somebody at the rally had like 3-inch roots, and if we don't get this taken care of soon, that's just going to be the new fashion statement. You know, that ombre look, and it's just, it's not good for anybody. So and I've been driven underground, you know, to get my nails done. So, you know, all those secret businesses. But even as a 1099, you know, the government's still trying to take care of you as a 1099 filer. And the state of Nevada won't even have the system in place to do and give the help that the government has provided, that the feds have provided, just getting your money back. That's not even going to be open until mid-May. And it's just, it really is ridiculous how unprepared that this governor and past governors have made Nevada, not focusing on, really our future.
Yeah, and this behavior coming to the store and bringing the sheriff or whoever, it was an overreach just to scare the people. And I get tired of that. It felt that way. You know, and I did come to the rally, and I was very happy to be there. And thank you for coming and speaking. I really enjoyed it, and I'm going to be back again this Saturday.
I can't wait. Every place on Saturday. So where are you going to go on Saturday?
Last time I was on the main street with you down by the Capitol building, but I'm going to go up to the governor's mansion, I believe.
Nice. Okay. I'm going to be at Reno City Hall. So, you know, we have to bring it. We have to bring it, Nancy.
Okay.
So I appreciate your time and everything that you're doing. And I hope that our local leaders and law enforcement see the error of their ways. Nancy, thank you so much for calling in. And you know, I'm thinking about you, making sure all this comes out for the best. Let's go back to the phone lines and check in with Mike this morning in Carson City. And, you know, this is just crazy, Mike. What's your thought on this?
My thought is we're being bottlenecked into four or five different businesses into our, you know, cities that we live in, you know, home improvement stores, grocery stores. We're all, regardless if people are quarantining or not, I think everybody's going out at one point, and we're being pushed into these places, and it's just like it's almost more risky to have everybody going into fewer places than it would be to spread us all out, you know?
Yeah, exactly. They're pushing us into all being together when we could be spread apart. Mike, and look at the big businesses that are flourishing. It's like this is all just to get the billionaires more money. Amazon is going crazy. So Bezos is just pulling it in left and right. You know, the Googles and the Facebooks, and people are talking through social media. And I wish people would just open up their eyes and see the reality of what's going on.
Yeah. No, thank you. I appreciate you being on the air and explaining this to everyone.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate your time on the air with me. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with more. And hopefully, Dee Goodman, who is, she's going mobile and maybe having to shut down. That's our local barber here, Old West Barber. In Reno. So we're going to try and get her on the line, and we'll be back after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Hi.
Right now, there is only one radio station talking about what's going on in Northern Nevada, live and local, right now. 99.1 KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
It is going on all across the country, not just right here in Northern Nevada, and it is unbelievable. Eight states never closed down. States opening up with no problems. Getting the small businesses back on track first, but not here in Nevada. Not with a Democrat governor, not with a Democrat mayor of Reno. It's just not going to happen. The casinos and the big dollar businesses are going to be taken care of first. And even changing the ways with the State Board of Health, how salons and barbershops and nail salons, nail techs can even do business. More restrictions coming. I tell you, when my friend is doing my hair in her salon, I don't want her wearing a face mask, and I don't want to be wearing a face mask because that is where I go to relax. I'm not going to be afraid in her salon. True heroes are the ones who stand up in the face of adversity and bring us along for the ride. And she hates to have references like that. Dee Goodman is joining us right now, and she is the barber who, in my opinion, really got the ball rolling for us because she opened up last week. Hi, Dee. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Monica. How are you doing?
I'm frustrated, just like you and everybody else. Tell me what happened since this all got started and you got fined, because people are coming together. They want they're making appointments with you, because how you handle everything is so professional. You wear a mask. Your client wears a mask. It's just the two of you. You make sure everything is sanitary and disinfected, and yet they still find you.
When I started this, I sat down, or we did a phone call with the barber board and with Mike from the city. And I said, here's my guidelines, how I feel I can open safe. It couldn't be accepted, and I understood that. So they walked me through the process of what my citations would be and how much fines could be. So the barber board gave me my first citation, which I'm fighting at this time, which is my right. There's been no fine yet. The city has cited me two times. The next one is a cease and desist, I believe. That hasn't arrived today, and I'm waiting for it today. Then we have no idea what goes on from there. Do they arrest me? Do the police just come by and cite me some more? And so I just don't know what the next step is. And then I moved out of the shop so that I wouldn't cause any trouble to the owner where I have my studio, and I went into my mobile unit. And now I'm out here hooking it up because the property management doesn't want it parked on their property. They don't have a clause, and it has to do with insurance reasons. And I offered to pay them what I pay her, and they said it would take too long.
Would you open up your mobile unit if somebody invited you to come be on their property?
Yes, I would, if I don't have to go to jail. That's what I'm waiting for today. When they can come out to me and tell me what's going to happen to me by the Reno PD, then I can make that decision. But I've got too many. All I ask people to do with small businesses, including the barbers, send in a plan, contact the city, let them know how you feel you can open. If they don't let you open, go ahead and open. At least we are a group of people that are working together. As far as I know, no one has done that, and I'm not willing to go to jail if people aren't going to step up and help me with this. That's 9 hours I may have to spend in jail over something that is so stupid.
And is so against your civil
that's
rights.
What I'm waiting to, yes, and that's what you I'm know, waiting it, for. You want to come out here and cite me and handcuff me and tell me to leave? That's fine, but don't take me off to jail. So I don't know what the, nobody knows what the procedure is.
We have.
I know in Sparks they're not doing that.
We have an AG, an attorney general, who is right up the governor's skirt in all of this. And we have an attorney general for the United States of America who says that this is unconstitutional and that states are overreaching. They're overstepping their bounds, and it is not right. And he's going to be bringing down the hammer. And Dee, we cannot let this happen to you. You are being victimized. You are being picked out as a troublemaker. And Hillary Sheevy and all the rest are just going to try and make your life miserable to get you to back down. So if there is anybody out there who will invite Dee to be on their property, because there's a lot of business owners out there, to have her mobile set up, please contact me, contact Dee. We will get her taken care of. Dee, I was not going out to collect money for you. There is a gentleman who put together a site to make sure that you had donations to fight your legal bills and everything like that, because the public is behind you. It's just those in, you know, elected positions, those who are being told what to do, that are doing this to you. Let me tell you, I didn't say anything except, you know, Dee Goodman, she's opening. We've got to support these local businesses. People started throwing money at me on Saturday to keep you going. I can't even say we raised, because I wasn't raising money for you. People just handed me $1,005 for you. You have the support. If it's not by the other barbers, it is by the community. And this is a travesty. The sheriff or the chief of police, Jason Soto or Darren Balaam, if they have any of their law enforcement officers or deputies arrest you, they will never see an elected position or a position of power in this city or in this county again. It's not going to happen. And I will, I will personally start the recall of Darren Balaam if this happens. Go ahead, Dee.
And, you know, and that's all I ask. Just, you know, somebody from the Reno PD, or they should have reached out to me by now and said, okay, I mean, the city told me how this was going to be handled. And they should have reached out and said, you know, this is how we're going to do this. If you're going to be arrested, I need to know. I can handle anything if I know what's going to happen. It's everybody's in limbo. I don't really think they know what to do because I don't think anybody's been cited three times. Because I don't have a citation this morning from City Hall, and I should have already had one. They delivered one on Saturday. I didn't even know they worked Saturday.
Oh, when they're doing stuff like this against the people, they'll work on Saturday. They'll work on Sunday, too. Jason Soto.
Well, then they should have already been out here.
You know, Jason Soto, where are you? You're still the chief of police and you're the city manager. Where are you, Jason Soto? Dee, I am so sorry that this is happening to you, and I will actually see you later on today, and we'll commiserate together, and we will find you a place to be.
Monica,
open.
Can I say something else to you real quick?
You got all the time you need.
Okay. I don't need donations. Any money that's being sent to me will go into a fund to help any other small business. I can generate $7,000 a month if I'm able to work. It's not being able to work. So I see the end of the tunnel, knowing that if I work, I can do that. And other people can do that if we can just work.
Dee,
that's
please,
all I'm asking. Just let us work.
Please do me a favor, and we are having another rally this Saturday at City Hall. Please have your truck and your mobile unit hooked up and have it there with us.
I will definitely do that.
We will show them that we're in this together. You know, I hate that statement because that's what we say, we're all in this together. But in a way, we're not. Because those in power, they're not feeling the pain that we do. Dee Goodman, thank you so much. Bless your heart for being strong. And no, we're going to come out ahead of this. So I will see
you
today.
Thank you, Monica.
And I'll see you on Saturday, too. All right. We're going to be right back after this quick break here on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Get more Monica in your life. Go to 99.1fmtalk.com. Click on the podcast tab.
92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. It's the Monica J Show. We're going to just go straight to it because we've got three calls backed up, and I've got emails that people have sent me that really need to talk about. So let's just go to it at 884-9910. But before that, make sure you answer Jay's poll question. 991fmtalk.com. Do you think that businesses should just open, or do you think they should follow Sisolak's plan? Right now, about 4% saying follow the governor's plan. Let's go to Doug this morning. Wants to talk about recalling Sisolak. Hey, Doug.
Hi, Monica. Thank you for taking the call. I just wanted to put out that I signed the recall for Sisolak in a real convenient place. It's the Costco parking lot across from the gas lane off of Plum Avenue in downtown Reno. Very easy, very friendly. It took 2 minutes.
That is fantastic. Fantastic. Doug, thank you so much. And it across the street from Costco here in Reno, across the street from Costco in Carson City as well. Yeah, Carson City as well. Go ahead.
The new Volkswagen dealership opened on Plum and at Costco there in back of the Denny's that off of Plum. It's the first block of Plum where you turn left. Very easy, very convenient, plenty of parking, no lines, and just wanted to point that out.
And you can see the signs, recall Sisolak. And a lot of these locations have different counties, too. So if you're working in Washoe County, but you vote in Douglas or Churchill or you know what I mean, just stop. Stop and sign the petition. We've only got 4 or 5 more days to get this done. Get this man out from what he is doing to all of Nevada. Let's go back to the lines and check in with Kitschy this morning. Talk about Sisolak's overreach. You think he's overreaching, Kitschy?
I think he has zero authority to do this. He can't issue a directive to every person in the state. He can issue a directive to employees and agencies because he's in charge of those. But he doesn't get to decide what's essential and what's non-essential. Aren't they always harping on our quality of life?
Yeah, but it's do as I say, not as I do, Kitschy. And you would be surprised.
The point is, he has zero jurisdiction. He doesn't have any jurisdiction to do it.
Right.
He's
and
totally
the county
acting outside his authority.
And the counties could be opening us back up. So where are the county commissioners? Where are the supervisors?
Oh, they're having secret closed-door regular meetings, our county commissioners are.
Well, I just got word.
I tried to go to a county commission meeting.
Yeah,
I was stopped at the guard, at the door by guards. The deputy county clerk came out. I said, I want to go to the county commission meeting. She said, you can't. It's a closed meeting.
What county?
Washoe.
It's just this is so incredible. Even Douglas County had their meeting, and they were going to discuss opening up, and then they just decided to stick with the plan. It's like what is that all about? But Kitschy, this is where people become mistaken, because he does have the right with the Emergency Powers Act. It gives him. It gives with the presidential powers that were enacted.
He has the Emergency Management Act that he follows, NRS 414. That's where his authority comes for emergencies.
Right.
And there's nothing in there about shutting down private businesses. Nothing.
Boy,
I went through the whole statute. And it's not constitutional either.
Exactly. Exactly.
So there's two violations, which means he stepped outside his authority. He's acting under color of law and color of official right. And when he issues a directive or an order, then that pertains to Washoe County or state employees, county city employees, and agencies. It does not apply to the private citizen.
And people are too afraid.
He doesn't have control over us.
And people are too afraid to do anything about it because they're seeing what's happening to Dee. She may be on the verge of going to jail. It's the fear.
Under
it's the intimidation.
What law? They have to have a law to put her in jail. What is the law?
Exactly.
They can't just say, oh, you violated Stevie's orders, and so therefore you have to go to jail. Where is the law?
That's why we need AG Barr coming to the rescue of these Democrat-controlled states, because Ford, AG Ford for Nevada, he's not going to do squat. So it's the lawyers that have to get involved, because people, the average citizen, they don't know enough about the Constitution. They don't know enough about the statutes, the clauses, the articles, the ins, the outs, what's been changed. I mean, look at the red flag laws that they passed. It's because people are too afraid and they don't know. And knowledge is the real power. Kitschy, I got to let you go.
Okay, I get that.
Thank you so much for calling in, and you're absolutely right. You know, this is where people have to start waking up and taking responsibility for what we have given and allowed the representatives, our elected representatives, to do to us. Once you give one little piece up, you cannot get it back. Did the Patriot Act expire after 9/11? No, it's still hanging in there. We do all these emergency powers things, and it's the same thing that they're pushing through right now. They're going to see how far they can go before we start pushing back. That's why Nancy Pelosi is holding up funding, holding up relief to the American taxpayer so she can get money for illegals. Why? Because it keeps her in power. Because those people will vote for her. They want to see how much we will give up. And I guess I said the right thing because I am getting email after email after email. You're flooding me, guys, with recall Balaam. Recall Washoe County Sheriff. He is a definite clone of his father, not pro-gun. A do-as-I-say, not-as-I-do Las Vegas lackey, just like the puppet boy sheriff in Carson City. This is what all these emails are looking like. When are you going to finally stand up and do something? And listen to people when they say, hey, there's a problem here. But a friend says, no, vote for him anyway. You know, it'll be better than this or better the devil you know. You got to stop that. We're in a primary right now. You've got to find out who these candidates are and what they are doing. Tim from South Lake Tahoe on the line right now. Tim, what's on your mind?
Oh, hey, Monica. Oh, I tell you what. I look forward to every day to listening to you. And I can't say I'm your number one fan, but I am a super fan.
Thank you, Tim. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Did you have something on the... Go ahead.
What's that?
Did you have something you wanted to bring up?
Oh, well, I do totally. I think all businesses should be reopened. You know, up here in Tahoe, I've talked before, and, you know, we rely 100% on people being able to go to work and people being able to come to our town. And it's, you know, I'm one of the fortunate ones. I have some work and everything because I'm in a essential business, and so very fortunate. And I just, every day I look forward to listening to you, Monica. You're just right on. You have other super fans like me up here.
Well, thank you, Tim.
It's just great, and I have literally everything. Everything that you bring up, even though for some people it's, you know, they don't want to think about such things or the world being the way it is. Just love the show. Very grateful.
Okay, Tim, thank you for the kudos, but I got to take another call. John's on the line right with us now talking about last Saturday's rally. So you were at the rally Saturday, John?
I live about five blocks from there, so it's kind of hard not to go. But I wanted to say a couple of words because you've hit a couple of key points here, and they bridge over each other. So the law enforcement response at the rally around the governor's mansion should be a wake-up call to all the people that are just wholeheartedly throwing themselves behind local law enforcement at whatever cause. And I'm not anti-gun by any means, believe me. That's the furthest thing. But I cannot for the life of me understand why there were deputy sheriffs with what we'll call assault rifles, military style AR-15s, with silencers on them for crowd control.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, I did notice that.
They were there. And to take up arms like that against your own constituents, your own citizens, your own neighbors, that is tyranny at its first level. So when you talk about Soto and Balaam with the problems going on in Reno, again, people need to wake up and say, hey, if Balaam as the sheriff or Soto as the police chief decide we are not going to enforce this close your business, cite the owners, they are now going to step up for the people and represent the people. Anything short of that, they are working against the people.
Exactly.
Similar to the homeless. Okay, so why don't we cite the homeless downtown for the violations that they occur, right?
Because they can't pay the fines.
Well, the government has said, don't cite them. So Soto and Balaam lockstep with the government and say, I'm sorry, we're not going to enforce the laws because Sheevy and the city council and other commissioners have said, don't enforce the laws because it's picking on the homeless. Mm-hmm. However, the same Sheevy, the same city councilor saying, go out and cite Dee for cutting hair in her barbershop. So you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah. I would have given
chief law enforcement
anything.
Officers in our county are promoting this as well.
I would have given anything to have seen any of those deputies or NHP troopers come over and just stand with those at the rally instead of standing against them. You know, they knew that the people in the rally, that nothing was going to happen to the governor. I heard one person say that there was 7 people there. I counted 20 just in the front. And then I know that there were ones around back, up on top, on the roof. And somebody told me that they have a connection with law enforcement and that there were 50. They put a call out to all agencies and that there were 50 armed officers, troopers, deputies there to protect the governor, to protect the tyrannical governor. They were also amongst the crowd in plain clothes. Does that make you feel any safer? Founding Fathers saw this coming. That's why we have the Constitution and the Bill of Rights the way that it is written. We'll be back right after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
There is no need for you to speak unless I ask you a question.
FM Talk, radio, 99.1, KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
It's the Monica J. Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Received an email that I want to share with you. I actually cut the phone lines. I'm sorry. We're going to hopefully we'll have more people on tomorrow. Every weekday, 10 to noon, it's your time. Wanted to be anonymous, so I will go with that and appreciate that. What gives Sisolak the right to keep us closed? I read the little treaties about getting to phase one, etc. Is there a law that he can do that? People keep going back and forth. Emergency powers gives him that authority. We've relinquished it. We really need somebody to set the record straight. Because there's so much misinformation out there. And if the counties really do make the call and the sheriffs can supersede the governor, then you better ask yourself, why the hell aren't they doing it? Sorry, I had to throw my 2 cents in there. Also, masks are not good for people at risk, especially they decrease the oxygen a person gets through their mask. The virus is too small to be kept out of the porous mask anyway. The mask increases fear, which increases adrenaline output, which decreases immunity. The mask causes sweat, which increases anything on the face or in the air to run down and be trapped in the mask. Cough, sneeze. It all gets caught in the mask. Think about this, people. This is why I do not wear a mask. It's the same thing with gloves. Gloves just transfer from surface to surface. Fear is the catalyst and the substance of this. The media keeps asking the same gotcha questions to the president. It's infuriating. Follow the money when it comes to big pharma. Hydrochloroquine costs pennies, the new stuff that Fauci is pushing that he gets money from is $1,000 a pill. If you cannot wake up and see that, then, oh, please stay in your house and don't send in your ballots that because you have no sense. And just think about it this way. When the government is shut down for a week, the country goes crazy. The Democrats go crazy. But those employees still get paid. And they still have all of their benefits and retirement. What makes them essential? The vaccine that they're touting is very dangerous, modifying the RNA in its victims, let alone the nanoparticle tracing. That company, Moderna, has never made a vaccine before. Come on, people. Open your eyes and think about this. The government shuts down and the world's going to end. You get shut down and they keep you shut down. Love you. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Be safe.